Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
We've been having a very fun morning on a Friday preparing for the weekend that is the NFL. We will get more and more into these games. A couple more of the coaching vacancies and the people that are up for those jobs. We'll get to the idea of maybe Bill Belichick in Atlanta, but we've got playoff football to get to this weekend. Mike Tenier joins us from the Messenger and a Progressive guest line. As we go over all four games, the two on Saturday and the two are Sunday, Progressive Insurance, looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/career and apply online today. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Good, man. Excited for this weekend. We were just talking about how you get these four games, and there's three real significant road underdogs here, including the Texans, who had just a remarkable season. If you were the Texans and you were trying to devise a way to beat the Mike McDonald defense with a rookie quarterback that can throw and has been smart and careful with the football, how is that offense looking to you, and how you can somehow capitalize on the Ravens defense and whatever weakness they have?
Okay, so for the Ravens, cornerback Marlon Humphrey, pretty much their best quarterback, cornerback, is out. So you have a potential to get Nico Collins one-on-one against somebody who can't necessarily handle Nico Collins. So the entire game plan feels like it should be around either moving Nico all over the formation and trying to get him isolated on a safety, trying to get him isolated on a slot guy, or using that as your decoy and saying, oh, he's going deep and he's taking guys with you and maybe you can get something underneath. It's a tall order because you cannot name the other wide receivers besides Nico Collins
right
on the Houston Texans because they're all hurt. If you name somebody, they're hurt. Noah Brown, he's hurt. John Metchie, he's hurt, et cetera. Robert Woods is banged up. He might play. So you have to find a way to get Nico open, and then you have to manufacture something else. And when you look up and down the Ravens defense, it's going to be hard to do that with this very banged up and very inexperienced Texans offense.
Lamar Jackson is likely to win the MVP, and he had a remarkable season. But is there any concern 0-2 in the divisional round? Is there a playoff Lamar Jackson that kind of pops up this time of year?
You know, this is a very old story. Like, some of the things that we're talking about happened in his rookie year. If you remember his rookie year, he came in like week 10, replaced Joe Flacco, was running around in circles, just a scrambly guy. You got that team to the playoffs, and he was not ready for the playoffs as a rookie who just had a scrambly offense. He did go out, and he has won some games in the playoffs. He has gotten over that hump to a degree. And now we're also talking about stuff that happened not in 2022, not in 2021, but way back in the past, often against some very good opponents. So I do not have any real concerns about Lamar Jackson moving forward. This is a different offense. This is a different Lamar Jackson. And particularly in this case, this is a matchup that puts him in a position where he doesn't have to do a lot, that he can just kind of play within himself. The defense, the offensive line, everybody else should be able to take care of this win.
What's the similarities between the Ravens defense and the Browns defense as C.J. Stroud was very effective against Cleveland? Is it a different look or something different that may hinder him in this game?
I don't know, because I looked at the matchup last week and said the Browns are going to smother these guys.
Right.
Browns have the best cornerbacks. They've got the best edge rush. And I think that the coaching staff, put one over on the Browns a little bit there. They found the weaknesses there. Stroud obviously played lights out. And then you had a situation where the game got away from the Cleveland Browns. I think one of the biggest differences is the first quarter, people might not remember, last week it was a little bit of a shootout between the Browns and the Texans. Then the Browns started making offensive mistakes. I don't think the Ravens are going to make those offensive mistakes along the way. And if they can keep the opponent balanced, if they have to be more pass happy, they can't mix things up with the run a little bit, they're going to have a hard time.
All right, let's go to the second game on Saturday, and that's San Francisco. A week of rest. Now they're here. Number one seed. Extremely good offensively, extremely good defensively. And now there's a Packers team that's brimming with confidence of what they did against Dallas. But how much does it play against them in a way that the 49ers, unlike Dallas, now knows what could be coming?
You know, the big difference between the Packers and the 49ers is that the 49ers are a really great team. And the Packers, I don't know if I have a confidence/momentum/answer here when you say, you look at every single matchup here and the 49ers are going to win this matchup along
right
the way. I like what the Packers have done along the way. That felt like the peak that the Packers were going to hit in that game, you know, especially right around the third quarter where they controlled everything. They're facing a much better offense, and the Packers do not have a very good defense. And I think experience does play a part. It's a very inexperienced Packers offense. But this just looks like a 49ers win, frankly.
It really does. And I get it. Coming off the Cowboy game, look, people were commenting on Love and how good he was, but it was so much on what Dallas didn't do and what Dallas didn't have and what Dallas was incapable of doing, rather than when you get a game where more people are talking about how the opponent lost than you winning, I don't like your chances in the next round.
Yeah, and you know what? That always happens with the Cowboys, to be fair. We all talk about the Cowboys because, you know, I'm in Philly. If I Cowboys stink. All my buddies tell me, hey, that was a great article. I said the Packers are great. No one cares. So you kind of do it that way. But if you look at the Packers defense is not what we saw in the first three quarters against the Cowboys. They're what we saw at the end when it was garbage time and the Cowboys were scoring points left and right. And the Packers defense is also banged up. Alexander, the top cornerback, is hurt. You're just not going to see a repeat of what we saw last week.
Let's talk about Brock Purdy. What do you think of Brock Purdy as a quarterback? Because a lot of people are talking about, oh, well, he's in the right system, et cetera. But overall, just the talent, what do you think of Brock Purdy?
Quarterbacks develop in the right system. Okay, so beginning of the season, I was skeptical of Brock Purdy. End of last season, I was skeptical of Brock Purdy. I was like, oh, he's just another Jimmy Garoppolo. I look at him and I say, you know what? I think he's better than Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he's got a better arm. I think he's developed into a better decision maker than Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, that doesn't mean you say, well, if you put him on the Carolina Panthers, what would he do? He would probably have a lot of trouble. But he is developing into that guy. And a lot of people will say system quarterback, system quarterback, system quarterback. He's number one in rating. He's number one in QBR. He's number one in DVOA, DER. Every metric shows you Brock Purdy is number one. We all know that the supporting cast is a big part of that, but he's not a guy who's number five because of the supporting cast, or number six, or number three. He's number one because of the supporting cast. That has to be attributable at some level to the things that he is learning how to do as a quarterback.
All right, let's go to Sunday, and let's go to the Lions against Tampa Bay. The Buccaneers are the third blitzing team in the NFL. How much is that a factor here? How much does Todd Bowles have to dial this up even more against Jared Goff? We know that the Eagles are susceptible to that. Are the Lions susceptible to that?
They are, and I don't know if you can dial it up any more than it was dialed up against the Eagles. I think that's the level of dialing. That's 10, and you're going to 11 like Spinal Tap, and you might want to be wary of it after that. But, yeah, this Buccaneers blitzing team, I think it did give the Lions problems in the game the Lions won in Week 6. It kind of confused them, and that's been the book on Jared Goff for a long time. You can pressure him into mistakes. He'll make mistakes if he's not sure where the blitz is coming from, et cetera, and that should work. This is the only game that – well, it's not the only game. Of the three lopsided spreads, let's say, this is the one where I think, you know, the Buccaneers have a legitimate chance. They're playing better football right now than they were earlier. Lions' pass defense has really been falling apart, and I don't want to go up against Mike Evans and, if he's healthy, Chris Godwin and that Buccaneers receiving core when I have a banged up and, like, not playing up to its potential pass defense.
Baker Mayfield's really been dialed in over the last few weeks of the regular season, and how are you evaluating his play?
You know, he's another one. It's a little bit like Brock Purdy where I say, well, I'm impressed by what he's done. But, you know, a lot of it is go get it, Mike Evans. Go get it, Chris Godwin. Right. And also, in his case, go get it against the Panthers. You know, go get it against the Falcons, who are falling apart all over them. So one of the easiest schedules in the NFL the Buccaneers had. And when they played a good team, they usually didn't play as well. So I would not be handing Baker Mayfield, you know, a couple $100 million, you know, Justin Herbert contract or anything like that. But if some team looked at him and said 2 years or whatever, I don't know how many million a year, to see if he's the guy that people thought he was going to be 4 or 5 years ago, it makes some sense because he's definitely shown, like, the gumption, the leadership, the toughness, some of the things that people questioned. Those are things he definitely showed this year.
All right, let's go to Chiefs and Bills. This is Mahomes Allen part three in the playoffs. They do meet in the regular season, but it's where the playoffs was where the money is made. It's also the first time Mahomes has got to go on the road in the AFC playoffs. So in terms of the way the Bills are playing, six straight games, is it very impressive? Is it just good? Where are you with the way the Bills are winning since that bye week that started in Kansas City in week 14?
Every week it seems like there are two quarters that are unbelievably impressive where I say this team might be better than the Ravens and 49ers, and two quarters where it's like, eh, What's going on?
Right.
If you watch last week, like a lot of us, I was starting to write up, okay, preview, Bills against the Chiefs, this is over, when I think it was 17-0, 21-0, I forget the exact score. And then next thing you know, it was like 24-17, and the Steelers are back in the game, and the Bills are doing nothing. I'm like, what's going on here? You look back at the Dolphins game, the first half, it's like, wow, the Dolphins are demonstrating who they are here. They're showing it to the Bills, and Josh Allen's doing his, I'm going to throw the ball straight to a defender in the end zone game and everything. Even if you look at the Patriots games, or like the Chargers games, the Bills look like that. So it's not this peak capacity, fully armed and operational Bills team that I think they're sometimes advertised as. That said, they keep showing that they have that level in them. They just don't do it for all four quarters. They're going to have to do it for all four quarters, or I guess like three and a half quarters, whatever, against the Kansas City Chiefs.
I got 60 seconds, but the Chiefs, I mean, this has been a team that all season long, it's been receivers dropping balls. Have they tidied that up a little bit? Is that still a major concern going into this weekend?
One receiver's tied it up. That's Rashi Rice. That gives them a little more of an offensive triangle with Mahomes and with Travis Kelce. But they're going to be counting on the Mahomes magic, and they're going to be counting on their defense and their offensive line to get them through. The thing is, the Bills are a little bit in the same boat because they don't have a lot besides Stephon Diggs, and Diggs has been very hot and cold in the last few weeks.
Mike Tenier, great stuff as always, my friend. Enjoy the weekend. It's the Messenger. That's where you can find him. Great stuff, man. Appreciate it.
You got it. Take care and enjoy the games.
You got it. On a Progressive guest line once again, Mike Tenier breaking down the games and the four games this weekend. Again, it's easy for everyone to kind of point to Chiefs Bills. We've seen the act before. We know how they can, both teams can put on a good performance. We've got two top quarterbacks in the AFC, et cetera. If I'm looking for a team that I'm really interested in how they're going to play, look, I'm leaning towards my favorite story of the playoffs, and that's Houston. But I think the Ravens are too strong. But I love the way the Texans have just surprised every one of us with the playoff team. It's a little different. I get it. I understand people with the Packers. That's a young team. They got rid of a lot of good players. They went with Jordan Love. Aaron Rodgers was gone, so much so a lot of other players left. And that's a great story. But they had Matt LaFleur, who knows how to coach in the postseason. D'Amico Ryan's first-year head coach, C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, all brand new into this league, and here they are against the Ravens. But watch for Todd Bowles and how he devises against the game plan against Goff.